Well, Pastor Mark continues to show himself to be a true shepherd, does he not? Everybody home safe, and he himself wound up not getting to come, but he did a great job with that, and I pray he gets to come home soon. I know he would like to come home soon as well. As we open up the Word today, I'm going to begin in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. It's just a launch point for me, really, because I'm going to review some truths of Scripture as we look at the church, as we look at then how churches partner together in what we call locally as an association, as you've heard that word already this morning. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And as I read that this morning, again, as I was preparing to come, just reviewing, not preparing, to be here this morning. Yes, I didn't just get up this morning and do this. But I was reading this, and I can't help but just have a heart full of gratitude for what the Lord has done through this church in your history. And I don't have time to go through the rich heritage you have here in the Cape area. But I know in just the short time that I've been your director of missions here that you continue to be a blessing to me, to the Association of Churches. I see the way individual members as well as staff are pouring into the lives of leaders within other churches and encouraging them and helping to develop them and spurring them on toward love and good deeds. And so as I see that, as I recall that in my own mind and heart, it causes me to have great joy because you are a partner. You are a valued, trusted partner. Pastor Mark has always made it clear to me that Linwood Baptist Church is here for the churches in the area. If there's ever anything that we have a need for, to just make him aware of it, and then he would communicate that and do what he can to help. And he has always stood by that. Partners is that key word that I'm focusing on, not just as with an entity that is known as the Cape Girardeau Baptist Association, but it's this church partnering with sister churches throughout our region. The Cape Baptist Association rightly understands that it's an association of local churches. My high school English teacher, she'd be a bit amused at me that I remember this, but she taught me that when you define a word or phrase, that it lacks clarity if you use a part of what you're trying to define in the definition itself. And so as I think about that and let me try again. It's the Cape Association. It's a group of local churches partnering together. And in this partnership, the pastors of all the churches form, along with an elected member from each of the churches, what's called an executive board. And they work together to discern the will of God for this region and beyond, and how they work together to bring that about. And a part of what they did, and will do at some point in the future, I hope it's still a ways out, is they also then select the director of missions, of which I currently am. And my role is actually to serve as a catalyst for the shared ministry of the churches. And one of the things, if you're known much about science, is a catalyst generally gets burned up in the process by the definition of being a catalyst. I want you to know, I'm okay with that. I love the passage of Scripture where Paul, as he's talking about the church to the churches, about his ministry and his role and his love for them, he talks about being broken and spilled out as a fragrant offering to the Lord. And that's my desire, to serve until there's nothing left to give. Because I have nothing of myself. It's only what the Spirit of God might give me. That's all that will be useful and that will last. But I want to be a catalyst. I want to be useful to the extent that God will enable me. And so as we think about how we come together as a group of churches, there's just some key things about the church that I want to highlight. And then I want to help kind of lay out for you your place and how you have continued to serve in a role for the association, what that looks like as we go forward. Jesus, he tells us that he will build his church. So as much as we love the church and we love our specific church, and I'm just going to say, I loved worshiping and have loved worshiping with you today. I didn't think I was going to get through the first song service this morning. I did not realize how tightly wound I was, and it just broke me. And I realized the second service, it wasn't less powerful, but I had a peace that I was lacking. That's why we gather, is it not? To come into the presence of the Lord and to feel his peace, his fullness within that. But as we see that and we rejoice at how the Lord has blessed us as an individual church, we remember it's his church. And he has established Linwood Baptist Church in this place in Cape at this time for his specific purposes. And he is bringing them about. And nothing, not even the gates of hell, will stand against what he has determined for this church to do. This church that is his church, because he's building it. We find that Jesus speaks to the universal church, that it's bigger than where we are in this one local place. But we know it is in this local church where we most practically live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's where we live life close enough with one another that we can actually be an encouragement to one another. It's how we can identify the gifts and the skills and the passions that the Lord has placed within us, his people, individually and then collectively as a body of people here in this place. And that makes the church significant. It's part of the process of how he builds his church. We find that Jesus, as the head of the church belongs to him. Colossians 1:18 says that explicitly, that the church belongs to him. And we understand this. Well, Jesus' ownership of the church is why we as Baptists, we actually confess that our local church operates under his ultimate leadership. You know, I don't know how many of y'all actually attend a business meeting when y'all have them. You probably only have them once a year. But when you have that meeting, it's not people coming to vote their opinion. It's because you've prayed as a body and sought the Lord to see what he wants done. And that coming together allows you to discern rightly what Jesus wants as for this body as it moves forward. Because we are responsible and accountable to him in all that we do. In a nation that values individualism, sometimes we can lose sight of the community aspect, though, of our life in Christ. A casual reading in the New Testament will reveal this community aspect is actually the most emphasized part of our new identity in Christ. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he summarizes this using word pictures that I think captures it well. He says that you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And we find Peter laying out for us with these word pictures this identity that we have in Christ as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's showing us we're made to worship. We're made to lead others in worship of the one true God. It's what it means to be the church. It's what it means as we are individual followers of Christ as well. We are part of something greater. We are now actually a new people. He calls us a chosen race. We're family. We weren't related before by physical birth, but we are now related by the blood of Christ. So we are blood relatives. If you follow Christ, you've been made a new creation, and that knits us together as family. So as you look around you today, the people who are members of this church, They're your brothers and sisters. That's why we often refer, we used to a lot refer to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. We did that to recognize the family aspect of our life lived together. We're family. But we are also, in that next phrase, we're missionaries. We heard that Gabe's going to be going to overseas, to Poland, to work with the Ukrainian refugees and others that he's going to come in contact with. But whether you go, whether you stay, you are a missionary. You exist to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. That's the hymn that it's referring to. We have the great privilege and joy to proclaim this Jesus. We just sang about that. Some incredible worship songs to illustrate the importance and the great joy we get of proclaiming Jesus. There is no other hope for us as individuals or as a society or as a humanity at large than Jesus. He is our hope. He is the one, it says, who called us out of darkness, deception, lies. The world would have us believe that we believe that there is no God, or believe that there is something else that is God. But they would not want us to turn to Jesus because they are deceived. It's not just a willfulness on their part. They're deceived. They don't know. But Jesus, he has come. And when he has revealed himself to you through the preaching, through the teaching, the proclamation of the gospel from a friend, your eyes are opened and you hear the truth, and the Spirit of God will resonate that in your heart to say, this is true. What you just heard of the excellencies of Jesus is true. And he has the power and the authority to take you out of that kingdom of darkness and to move you into his kingdom of light. This is Jesus. This is the one we follow as a church, as a body. And it is our identity as missionaries to do this, to proclaim Jesus. Paul goes a step further in trying to explain this so that we don't lose sight in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, where he writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means they have believed in him and in Christ have received life. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says that when you believed in Jesus, you became a new creation. And he said you were then given this ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because you've been reconciled. Do you realize? I don't need for us all to go through an evangelism training program. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have been transformed by him into a new creation, you now know enough to tell somebody else how to come to Jesus. You might not know all the religious terms, and I don't care if you ever do. Do you know Jesus? Do you know what he has done for you? And can you tell people that? If you have met Jesus, you have something to tell. That makes you a minister of reconciliation as you implore people, come with me as I follow Jesus. And that makes you an ambassador. You're an ambassador. An ambassador represents another. And in this case, it means we represent Jesus. So when we speak of Jesus, when we speak of his excellencies, it means that we are his representative. We're speaking of him and for him. The way we live our lives, not just in word, but in deed, we also are communicating something about Jesus as those who are his ambassadors for Jesus. In some sense, as we think of ourselves collectively as the church, that makes the church like an embassy. An embassy is, there's a physical territory in a foreign country, but that territory becomes identified as belonging to the nation it represents. And so in a similar way, we as a church, as the people of God, wherever we gather, where we are, that's the kingdom of God present in this world. We belong to Jesus. We belong to God and his kingdom when we are created new. And so the world gets to look at our life to say, what's the difference between living in this kingdom and living in the kingdom of the world that we live in? They see that. And the way we live with one another shows that. These three identities as worshipers, family, and missionaries begin to live out, intertwined together as we live our lives. It looks a lot like this, just as an example. When Jesus was asked what the most important command was, he said, the first and greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second, unsolicited, he adds the second, is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depends the law and the prophets. To love. So, when you love God, that's how you're living out your identity as a worshiper. Everything we do because of our love for the Lord is an act of worship. It shows the Lord that how much we care about him. It's why Jesus would say that if you love me, you keep my commands. In other words, you live the way I have instructed that brings real life when you obey my commands. And that shows your love for me, that you really do believe me. Loving God is us living a life of worship. We also, as we think about love for neighbor, that focus really is on those that still don't know Jesus. So loving your neighbor as yourself is saying, I'm not content for me and mine to know Jesus and to be able to have the knowledge and the comfort that we will abide with him forever and ever. I'm not content with just me and mine. I look across the street. I look next to me at work or at school. I look when I'm in the market, and it's like, I want them to be with Jesus. I want them to know him also, to know the joy of knowing him, of following him, of living the life that he has given us. I want them to have. That's what loving others ultimately is. And as others respond to the gospel, as they also experience this new life, Jesus then gave a new commandment in John 13, 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus added one more command. Isn't it interesting that as he adds one more command, it's the same command. Starts with the same verb, love. In case you didn't catch that, love is a verb, right? If we choose to do this. It becomes a part of our will, all right? We learn, we gain knowledge to understand what it looks like to be expressed well, to express it in a godly way. And then we resolve to then act on that knowledge that we have received, and that develops a passion for Jesus and then for others as a result, to love. But Jesus says, yes, love God, love others who are still far from God, and love one another. Because it's by the way we interact with one another that the world sees us and says, oh, they follow Jesus. Oh, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be someone who knows him, really knows him, not just knows about him, but believes in him. This love for one another, it's critical. It is this aspect, this identity that we have that we call the church as family. It's why the church matters. It's why when we identify with a group of people like Linwood Baptist Church, we come together that we say, I don't want to just come and attend. I want to be a full member of the family. If you're a regular attender, it's a little like when I was growing up, our neighbor really enjoyed my mom's cooking. He was about a year older than me. And it seemed like every night, it wasn't that often, but it was like twice a week, he would just invite himself to dinner. And he would come and we'd just set an extra plate and he'd have dinner with us because he liked my mom's cooking. He wasn't a member of the family, but he was a regular attender, okay? All right? And so, but, you know, as a church family, we can be a part of the family. You can actually join and participate at every level, not just receiving, but giving also to one another, because there is great joy in serving one another. And it happens when you become a part, when you make a commitment to one another. So Jesus says, love one another. Well, being a member in a local association actually does give us the opportunity to experience what I call our extended family, right? Now, my cousins, and they didn't live with me, all right? But I always enjoyed when we got to visit one another, because when we did that, we would learn from each other. We did a lot of cool things together. We could engage in certain sports activities that there just wasn't enough of us in our family to do. And so it was just a fuller time together. Well, in a similar way, that happens with the church as well. In the area of worship, it's the larger universal church coming together. I know that in Central Asia, when we were doing church planting there, that we were in an area that just didn't have a lot of believers. And I remembered once a year we got to come out as a family and gather with other families who were doing something similar in Central Asia and have what we called our annual meeting. We should have called it something else. But it was a time we just came together for worship. That whole first day was overwhelming on the emotions. To hear so many voices singing praise to the Lord, it is a healing balm when you hear that, when you sense that. And it is one of saying, I'm not alone. It's bigger than I could have remembered or thought. We saw that same thing experience among the believers in our country as they were small, scattered churches around the country. And when we were able to help them come together for the first time, the first thing that they said invariably when they saw everyone in the room was, I had no idea there was more believers than us. They were alone. And so one of the reasons we do associate is so that we are reminded of the church is bigger than we know, that we're not all that there is. And we get to encourage one another. And that's, by the way, why I started with Philippians 1. You guys have been such an encouragement to the churches in the area. We had our annual meeting for the association in 2020 right here. It was an auditorium big enough, we could actually social distance for those that were here. Gabe and the praise team led in worship. I still get people telling me, that was awesome worship. We had so much fun as we came together. We were filled up. We needed that. That was a gift that this church gave to those in the other churches as we gathered together. It's something that we can do as extended family. We do that through worship. We work together toward the fulfillment of Jesus' mission to make disciples of all nations, which is a monumental task. I mean, I remember when the International Mission Board, they repented of the idea that they could actually see the church emerge among every people group that's left on the planet. That was the International Mission Board, all right? So if that entity with thousands of missionaries all over the world realized they couldn't do that, then as a local church, we have to say, we too cannot achieve this all by ourselves. We come along together, alongside others, to do that. And you've led out in that. When I think about Calgary and the work that you're doing there, I'm so excited that that's opening back up, that people can go again. Lots of people are always asking me, when can we go back to Canada? And it's always been we'll have to wait. But it's opening up. It is possible to do now. And you guys are actually the ones going first. You're leading out and saying the door is open. We do missions collectively. Right now, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to Montana for actually a little over 5 weeks, because this church and the other churches are allowing me to go and give a pastor there a sabbatical, who has been over 30 years pastoring this church, almost never missing a Sunday. He could not believe that I would be able to come and to do that, to give him that break. He is so excited for this. And while I'm there, I'm just going to walk the church through a process of revitalization. They've been in decline for a few years now, and the pastor and I have talked about that, and he's asking, hey, can you help us in this way? And so we're going to do that while we're there. But another church in our association, Oak Ridge First Baptist, is sending one of their staff members for two months to another small town of about 3,500 people in the northeast corner of Montana to do this, something similar. And so he and I will work together on that, these two churches walking through revitalization, because of partnership as we are able to work together through the association. It is providing an opportunity of training as well, so that when he comes back, he will be positioned to be sent out as a pastor of a church that is in need of revitalization. The ministries of the association are actually the shared partnering ministries of local churches. In other words, they're your church's ministries, and they're performed alongside other churches so that we can extend each other's gospel reach. We can just reach a little bit further. You may not feel like it's a lot further, but it's a little further. And as we do that, the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. Well, this year, I've been evaluating our association and trying to determine how well are we doing with that? How are we helping churches extend their gospel reach? It's something that really every church, every organization needs to do on a regular basis to do that. And I know this church does that. Because there's a tendency among people and organizations that we can get comfortable where we are and we simply drift from the reason of our existence. But the church's reason for existence is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people can hear about Jesus. That they too might know of his glory, that they might experience this new life. And so this year, at our annual meeting on November 13th, First Baptist Church of Millersville is going to host that gathering of the association. And your own Kevin Goebel is going to be giving the keynote sermon as we focus on the collegiate ministry within our region. And so that's open. You don't have to be a member of the, you don't have to be a There's words for it. See, I can't even remember these things. For me, it's just about the people that are there. There's an executive board that's there, and then you messengers. That's the word I'm looking for. You don't have to be official. You can still just come and enjoy the worship together and support Kevin as he comes and speaks as well. But we're going to present, as a part of that meeting, this new vision and mission and strategy that I've been working through and developing. And I've been talking with the pastors about. And I'm not going to go into it in depth, but I want to give you just a snippet so that you understand enough that maybe there's hooks that you see in the ministry you have with Linwood, that it would be a natural extension of that ministry to connect in a broader way. And so ultimately, it's my desire, my hope, that every church in our association would be healthy and multiplying. I say that because I know that over half our churches are at risk of dying. They have plateaued with the same number of people. And as those people continue to get older, some of them are passing away. And eventually those churches are going to close. They're also at risk by those kingdom properties being taken by some other group that might want to come in and vote to do something different. And there's ways to do that that I won't explain because I don't want to give people ideas. But they are at risk. And we, as an association of churches, are able to come along and serve and help and assist one another because we got about a third that I would put pretty much in that healthy category, Linwood being one of the chief among them. And so able to assist others as they try to regain health, whether that is they need replanted, whether they just need someone to come along to provide some training opportunities, whether just to assist in other ways as they define that. Maybe it's serving as a part of a team to help bring about revitalization for the church. Because under that healthy banner, part of our strategy is revitalization, renewal. That is a process that we have got to get more involved in. I've spent 4 years studying and learning and practicing church revitalization. A variety of tools now at our disposal. The Missouri Baptist Convention has created the Resound Network, which is actually sort of the second generation of the Renovate SEMO that started right here in our association in 2018. It's a progression of that, and they've taken it to a whole new level in terms of resources and tools that are available. And I have the privilege of serving as the Southeast Zone leader on that team, which means there are 15 associations that it's now my responsibility to help lead through a process of revitalization. I can't do that by myself. And so I am seeking people who have a heart for local churches wherever they are and how they might be able to walk alongside to help them. That doesn't even involve you leaving Linwood. It just involves you in investing some time and energy in assisting another church and learning how to do that. But every church, I believe, can be healthy. Healthy is not about the size. It's not about the amount of money. It's really about how well do they reflect the biblical definitions of what a church is. And are they being faithful to proclaim the excellencies of Him who have brought them out of darkness into His marvelous light? And so within that process, to see that come about, there is a really simple strategy. It's equipping leaders, revitalizing churches, and then planting churches. So equip, revitalize, and plant. Planting is twofold. We plant locally, we plant cross-culturally. So our partnership mission work, it's all about church planting. We don't engage in partnerships that are not either helping revitalize churches around the globe or engaging and planting new ones in that area, because we believe that it is the church that is God's design for how the gospel will get to the nations. And so we invest in churches in that way. And we're looking for people who are willing to come alongside, to be equipped to do that, to serve with people from other churches in that process. So I want to encourage you today. I don't know where you're at in the process, where your journey is. I saw the Next Steps booth when I walked in the door. We heard Kevin Coffey talk about it this morning. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you are here and you've never really met Jesus. This life that I talk about, it's strange to you. But there's something in you saying, I need to know more. Can I just encourage you this morning to act on that? Because that's the Spirit of God prompting you to take a step closer to Him. It's not a commitment necessarily at that point. It's just saying, I need more information. I want to know more about this gospel. I don't know what it means when you say, Jesus died for me, because I don't know why I'm so bad. Someone had to die for me. Can you come? Let us talk to you about that. Because we need a Savior, because Jesus simply said, if you don't believe in me, then you're under the wrath of God. It's not about morality. It's not about whether you're a good person, a bad person. My neighbor's one of the best men I know. He will literally give me the shirt off his back if I need it. But he doesn't know Jesus. And Jesus said that he'll spend eternity in hell because he has not believed in me. That's all it is. That's what we're talking about. But we want to talk about why. And that's a conversation. And I want to invite you to enter into that conversation if God's saying to you, explore this. But maybe you've already heard that. And maybe the Spirit of God's telling you this morning, now you need to take a next step. You already know this. You know this is true. You know Jesus lived a perfect life, died, buried, raised on the third day, coming again. You know those things. You know intellectually that's true. But you have not chosen to surrender to Him, giving your life to Him so He might make you new. Today, you need to make that choice. That's your next step, is to take the step to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to follow you. I want your forgiveness for my sin. I want to be reconciled to the Father. It's okay. Just say that to Him. And the Spirit, the Scripture says that you will be born again, that you will literally be a new creation. Maybe you've done that, but maybe you saw baptism today, but you've never followed in baptism. Then your next step, it's baptism. Why? Because that's the first way you proclaim to the world the excellencies of Jesus. You're saying, hey, I agree. Didn't Pastor Jeff do a great job explaining that? That as we're lowered into that water, we're buried like Him, raised then to newness of life. That's the way we initially proclaim. That's why we baptize people, the way we baptize them. Take that step today. Set that up. I know that Pastor Mark or the people here on staff, or maybe it's another leader, I'm not sure what your policies are about who does baptisms, but it's take the step of baptism. Maybe you come to worship, but you're really not connected to a small group. You're not connected to a group that you can actually know well, studying the Scripture together. Can I encourage you that your next step is to join that small group, that you begin to walk alongside other people who can encourage you in the faith, that the God's will for you is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Romans. And the way you're conformed most efficiently or effectively is walking alongside other believers as a part of a small group. That's your next step. You need to become a part of that. You might have been already doing that. Have your spiritual gifts been identified yet? Do you know what your gift is? Well, that small group can help you affirm what your gift is. That's your place of service. You need to engage in serving the King. He has empowered you through the giving you of a spiritual gift for you to be able to do that. Can I encourage you, seek that out if you don't know? And then your next step would be then to find a place to serve, that you might put that gift into effect. It is so important for you to do those things, because as you began that life with Jesus, He wants you to be everything He created you to be, everything He has empowered you to be. And He is always faithful to His promises to bring it about. So if that's not happening, we need to ask ourselves, are we holding back? Are we not taking our next step? If it's because you don't know what it is, you got people out there that will be happy to help you do that. You have staff that would be happy to help you do that here at Lynnwood. Ultimately, I want to see everyone equipped to lead in some way, locally in their church, and how they can assist other churches around them so that they might engage in seeing new churches established wherever God might need and desire those to be established. This church has a rich heritage of church planting. Fruitland Community Church, one of the strongest churches in this association, was established by a group of people from this church who came alongside Pastor Mike Perry to begin that church. It's a testimony to the goodness of God and to the faithfulness of Lynnwood Baptist Church. And there are other examples that I could give. Maybe God's preparing a group of people right now to say, I want to be a new core team to see a new church plant. I have a church planter coming from Washington, Missouri to Cape on Thursday who's convinced God said, come here, plant a church. Don't have details yet, but I'll have them on Thursday. Maybe God's calling some of you out for that purpose. I don't know. I know Kevin Coffey and I met with another church looking to be replanted. Again, another opportunity. They abound. Your next step is there. I want to encourage you today. Don't leave today without asking Jesus, what's my next step? Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we know that even when we are faithless, you are faithful. I think about even in my own life how I was so disobedient that you revealed to me what you wanted in my life. And for 9 years, I said, I won't do that. And you didn't push me aside and relegate me to non-use, but you kept kind of nudging me in different places, different areas that I wasn't even aware that you were using to equip me for the day that I would say yes. Because you knew me, because you created me. And Lord, I think that's true of people here in this room. That you've been doing that in their life, that they've had an idea that you want them to engage in something. They may not have a clarity of what that is, but you've been developing them and preparing them and gifting them to be able to do that. Lord, I ask you, speak to us, to your people, and show us individually and collectively what you want us to be. Show us our next step. That we might glorify you, that the people that are watching our lives to see what we will do and how we will do it, that they will see it and they will glorify your name because they see us loving you and one another and following after you with all that we are as an act of worship. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. It's in your name that we ask this for your glory. Amen.